1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Belmar Academy, Father James McQuarters. And Father McQuarters, I know that there is safety on the minds of parents and members of the clergy for Halloween tonight.
The most important question, though, Phil, is whether or not the kids are feeling like they're having fun. It's the most important thing for a child to have fun. And it's the most important thing for a child, Phil, to enjoy his childhood. But we do want the parents to know that on Halloween, children should have fun, but gunshot wounds are not uncommon. When you approach the front door...
Now, this was all part of the sermon you gave last weekend.
At Belmar, yes.
All right. So we just jump into this, but when the kids approach the door as trick-or-treaters, clearly identify who you are, right?
Clearly, when you ring the door as a child, approaching the front door when you're trick-or-treating tonight, and Mommy and Daddy can help you with this, clearly identify that you're a trick-or-treater through the door. State it clearly and state it loudly. Otherwise, there is a risk, I say to some of the parents, that someone might believe you're an intruder, and there have been gunshot deaths at Halloween time.
Father McQuarters is with us, and Halloween is a great time for kids, though, right? We don't want anybody to think that it's not. It's a time that kids should have fun.
Well, Halloween, yes.
In other words, we don't want to just jump right into the program and tell kids when you approach the door to trick-or-treat tonight, clearly identify who you are.
Oh, we want the children, no. Don't misunderstand. It should be fun-filled. But we are alert to the dangers that children face.
Does the Catholic Church like Halloween? In other words, is there any prohibition? I don't remember. I was raised Catholic.
No.
I was raised Catholic, and I don't remember any prohibition against it.
No, we've got no problem with it. But we do want you to keep in mind these different, dangers that the police and the different agencies tell us about. For instance, the number of children hit by cars quadruples on Halloween, and also the incidence of children choking on candy and going to the emergency room goes up some 20%. So while it sounds like we're giving a laundry list of things that are bad about Halloween, we just want you to be on guard. And we want...
All right, so you're saying that four times as many kids get hit by cars on Halloween, 20% choke on candy?
20% of all choking cases that come to an emergency room are children under the age of 14 choking. And we've also found that if yards are not well lit, this is something for the parents to keep in mind, if the yard's not well lit, children can trip on a lawn hose or a flower pot or wet leaves, and this has caused serious injury, Phil, and even deaths.
Deaths. All right. So we're talking about be careful or you're going to die out there, and I suppose that is advice that anybody doing anything should take, right?
That's true, but we're talking about children going out on Halloween. While you might take care driving your car to work, a child alone and a child who's gone out to have candy on Halloween and suddenly is faced with some adult that wishes to do something heinous, something real different. And this is what we're trying to protect the children from. One of the things I do as part of my ministry, Phil, as you know, is to visit children's hospital. And I've seen children from Halloween injuries and the sort who've been impaled on the branches of trees because some mother lover didn't light his yard. And there are children who suffer from pancreatic cancer.
Pancreatic cancer because of the overload on the insulin?
Because of the overproduction of insulin, right.
So, but we're not trying to discourage a family from trick-or-treating.
Well, I would say that's a decision that you have to make for yourself. I can tell you that from the several parents I've spoken with, there are in large metro areas these devil cults, or what they call devil clubs now. And they're deadly serious people. They've been known to kidnap children. And again, this is something that parents should keep in mind, not to scare the children, but they have been known to kidnap children. And the great tragedy of this is that some of them practice cannibalism. And so we have...
All right, well, there is a serious risk of children being murdered, then.
No, it's not. It's just things to keep in mind to have a safe Halloween.
A kid's going to get hit by a car. The kid's going to choke on candy. He could get impaled on a tree branch from slipping on wet leaves. And now you're talking about... And, of course, I'm aware that there are devil worshippers and devil cults. I'm aware of that.
But you're not aware that they've taken on a more satanic... more of a satanic sheen. They now do practice cannibalism. And for the rest of us, this is a red flag, a warning sign. But no, we want the children to enjoy Halloween.
All right, Father James McCorder from Belmar Academy. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. It's scary, isn't it?
Well, I've never had children, Phil. I've been a priest ever since I got out of high school and went into the seminary. It was not my calling in life to have children. But I wouldn't want you to worry. I know that your children have a good father, and they have a good mother in Maria. But I know that when you take the kids out trick-or-treating tonight, there is some danger of losing an eye because of a lot of firecrackers are used. And
losing an eye. Well, Father, when your sermon last week provoked some outrage among parents. It was considered at times insensitive. Isn't that right?
Well, Phil, parents would be well advised to pay more attention to their children on Halloween.
Yeah, but wasn't your sermon, you said something about take a chill pill?
That is a colloquial phrase, a phrase that I use. I say this, Phil, because I...
You told the parents to chill out, even though you were saying that there were devil worshippers out there that practiced cannibalism, and your kids could get impaled through the skull on a tree branch if they slipped on a wet leaf, that they were...
Well, you're making it sound as if the entire sermon was in a negative vein, and it was not.
Well, what was positive about it?
Well, I think the positive part is that I did bring up, and we would all do well to remember, that Catholic priests are the only ones who have an exorcism rite, and as such, are the only ones capable and blessed by God, and in the presence and proxy of Jesus Christ, are the only ones capable of casting out a devil in the rite of exorcism. And before you begin to talk about your parish priest as if he's a child molester or one who would abuse the innocence of a child, you'd be well advised to remember that it is a Catholic priest that cast the demon from the child in the film Exorcist, and it's a Catholic priest, if your child were to become possessed by a demon, be a Catholic priest that would come to your home and cast the demon out. And you'd be well advised not to continue the harassment of priests, but to keep your eye on your own child. Because this is Halloween night. Tis a night when evil things have full sway. Tis a night when all things evil have full control of the earth. You'd be well advised that if you think it's a night when a child goes door to door for candy, that you could well find your own child in a hobo costume, a ballerina suit, or a Klingon costume with a tree branch through his skull because he slipped on wet leaves.
And you're not trying to scare us from trick-or-treating.
I'm trying to advise you that...
And that whole public relations pitch you did there for the priest, that was very cute.
I'm not trying to be cute, Phil.
Have you ever exorcised or have you ever done an exorcism?
In 1987, yes, I did.
You did. You performed an exorcism?
Yes, I did.
Where?
In Santa Barbara.
In California?
California, yes.
Who was it?
I can't divulge the boy's name. He was a minor.
It was a young boy that was possessed?
Yes.
Were his parents there?
The church canon law does not allow for the exorcist. Allows only for the exorcist. You didn't see Ellen Burstyn in the room with Linda Blair. So the parent will screw up an exorcism as sure as God made green apples. So
you were with a boy in Santa Barbara without his parents.
Okay, now I see where you're going with this. Okay.
No, well, seriously, you were in Santa Barbara.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, you were in Santa Barbara with a kid. I have to ask the question.
I'm insulted. And for you to think that the only hope that your daughter Catherine, who is entering her teenage years and as such is a prime candidate for possession, escapes the claws of the demon, and that I would be the one to help her.
I had to ask the question.
You're a piece of garbage, Phil, for asking a question like that. This boy was the walking dead. This child was what we would call a zombie. He was taking orders and going out and committing crimes.
For some guy who had control of his mind?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Father, would you hold on?
I'd be happy to.
Father James McCorder, Halloween. Have fun, but remember, Kids get hit by cars 4 times as many times. Kids choke on candy 20% more times. Kids slip on flower pots and wet leaves and get impaled on tree branches. Kids suffer from pancreatic cancer from too much sugar. The fact that there are demon or devil cults that have been known to kidnap children and they practice cannibalism. But other than that, have a good time tonight. It doesn't sound to me like the man wants us to have a good time at all. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. And, of course, the other point that bears repeating, with all of the criticism that we've had of Catholic priests over the last several years, really, it is true they're the only ones who have a actual exorcism rite and the only ones who are trained in the art of exorcising demons or devils. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
We're talking with Father James McWhorter from Belmore Academy. This is Halloween tonight, and his parish, at least, has come out with some safety tips how kids should trick-or-treat. Do you think that people are over the child molestation? One of the most serious things that has ever happened in the history of the Catholic Church. Do you think they're over it?
I think they are, Phil. I think people have a great, great capacity to forgive. And I think people have moved on. And I think that while some priests were guilty of abusing a child, most people have been able to put that into perspective and say it's not near as bad as other threats are to us as people. The threat of the devil himself. And the real threat that arises and exists against our children. The threat of a child molested priest is nowhere near as serious as a devil cult or a demon cult that practices, if you can believe this, Phil, cannibalism. Takes the child from the street, takes the child back to a safe house, and there the child is prepared for some kind of evil, horrific feast. That is much worse.
Well, let me go back, because I know that there is evil in the world, but you're saying that you feel that most Catholics have forgiven the priests for what they've done.
I think most people have forgiven the priests, because in retrospect it wasn't as bad as other things we've had to face. Al-Qaeda and the whole 9/11 situation, which I understand upset a lot of people. And the anthrax, which I'm given to understand was also frightening for some people. I read in the paper also about something else. I forget, it was the sniper in Washington.
Well, there was a sniper loose in Washington, yeah.
And I understand people were upset about that?
Yes, they were upset about that. They were upset about 9/11. You know, they're upset about anthrax.
It's because it's interesting to know what upsets people. So I understand this, Phil. But I don't think anything is more upsetting to a parent than to suddenly lose your child and know that somewhere there is a devil cult that is preparing the child for consumption by a...
Okay, this is...
It's sickening, isn't it?
Yes, it's sickening. Absolutely sickening. And I don't think it's anything we ought to be scaring kids with, do you?
Not at all, and I would never scare the children with it. But I want them to be aware of it. Go out and have a good Halloween, but be aware of strangers. Clearly say you're a trick-or-treater. I've known parents and some adults who live alone who will shoot through the door because they don't know who's there.
1-800-449-8686. Some chilling advice here from Father James McWhorter from Belmore Academy. And you're inside the church right now.
Yes, right now, Phil. We're actually preparing for a funeral. A very dear friend of mine, William Thrun, died. And that's Father Staley, who's playing the organ now.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. So the answer to the question, have people forgiven Catholic priests, is yes.
Oh, without question, without a doubt in my mind, people have completely forgiven us and have been able to walk away and say, everybody's entitled to at least one mistake. And I think that
even in the case of kids being molested.
Well, I think so, Phil, because people tonight know that this is Halloween night. All evil things have full sway. And who do you want to pick your fight with? Do you want to fight Satan and have at your side a Catholic priest who is skilled in the rites of exorcism? Or do you want to have, and excuse my language, but I think it's fitting, do you want to have a hard-on for priests because of one little slip, because of a wee peep, and the next thing you know, a demon, sure as God made green apples, and the love of Jesus and Mary themselves, they shine upon your face, a demon has swollen into and consumed and subsumed your child. Nay, I say, that's nothing that you would want. And that's why I say what is most important is that you...
Forgive the priests because they molested a kid because you might get possessed by a demon.
Well, I don't think...
This is all medieval stuff, though.
I don't really think it'll happen, but I am saying that we do have... If anyone is going to help you, we will.
All right, tonight is Halloween. The children will be out trick-or-treating. You advise that they clearly identify themselves as trick-or-treaters to avoid being shot through the door with a shotgun.
It's happened, yes it has. As gruesome as it sounds, Phil.
So kids just walk up to the door and some clown... Where did this happen?
I think it happened in Denver, Colorado a number of years ago, where a man heard footsteps on his front patio. He called out, "Who's there?" and no one identified themselves. And he opened up with an automatic weapon and shot through the door.
And they were trick-or-treaters.
Yep. You got it.
You also were advising that people clear away all of their pots and all of their hoses and anything else that a child may trip on because you've been to the kids' hospital and you've seen kids impaled through the eye on tree branches.
You bet. And sometimes they can't even get the tree branch out.
And you're also saying that kids should go out and enjoy Halloween.
Have a ball.
Yeah, sure.
Well, how
can you come on here and say this?
I'm just simply saying, when a child goes to the front door, Phil, are you listening to me? I don't want you to get excited.
How can you tell a kid to enjoy himself?
When you can enjoy yourself, but the first thing you should do about 25 feet away from the door is to say, "Don't shoot, I'm a trick-or-treater."
Don't shoot, I'm a trick-or-treater.
Yes. Yes. I know, I've seen what's happened. But if you do that, you can have a great time. You can have a ball. Get out and rock and roll. And repeat it over and over again. Don't shoot, I'm a trick-or-treater. Don't shoot, I'm a trick-or-treater. Don't shoot, I'm a trick-or-treater.
Until you get to the front door.
Until you get to the front door, right.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Nina. Nina, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard this guy say that there are worse things to happen to a child than being molested.
The possession of a demon.
I'm a parent, and if my son was to be molested by the priest that I entrusted his life to, there would be nothing worse than that.
But let me ask you, if the child is possessed by a devil, who will come to exorcise the demon?
God.
No, but the priest...
And for your information,
God.
Sir, the Bible says, rebuke the devil and he will flee. So if I believe in God and I say, get out of my child, the devil will get out of my child. But
you
for you to tell
at...
me that you're the only one, the authority, given to you by God.
You should have yelled that to Father Staley about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Nina, thank you for your call. I think that
you're
right when you say...
Ma'am, by the sound of your voice, I'd imagine you've lit a few candles and a few skulls. So
that's completely inappropriate. 1-800-449-8686. He knows how to exorcise demons, so maybe you can forgive him the molestation of children.
1-800-449-8686. The world.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Last night I got to bed about 1 o'clock because I was downloading and then playing this Sims game. That's a good game. Yeah, real good game. I was on my computer and, you know, they have these games that they give you for free, and they gave me these Sims people. So there I was playing this game, and if you've never played Sims, I'm sure you've heard of it. You can create a person, literally create a home for a person or two people, and create a life for this person. But while you're creating the life for the person, you have to remember to take them to the toilet, take a bath, clean up their house, eat, buy furniture, take care of their emotional needs, and on and on and on and on. Because I'd heard the kids talking about it, and one of my friends was saying, yeah, it was really cool. We got this Sims game where you build an amusement park, and we had the roller coaster, you know, end in midair so that everybody died and burned up in a forest fire. And Craig likes to play that game. But the game that I have is just the Sims people creator. So last night, there I am, desperately trying, and I picked the guy that I wanted was a bachelor. That's the guy that I want. I had this little house and just the bachelor. Because I thought it would be cool to start with one guy and see if you can get him a life. I desperately tried to get this guy laid, but I couldn't remember to clean his house up. He went 2 days without going to work, so he doesn't have any money, so he doesn't have any food, so he's hungry. And I actually got this girl to fall in love with him, this newbie by the name of Betty. So she would come right over, and then they'd hug, and I got her into the bedroom. Okay, now she's in an apartment. Keep in mind that in the Sims game, you can see into the apartment. The walls are transparent. The walls will knock down wherever you need to. So I actually got her interested enough, so she went into his bedroom. Now keep in mind, there's piles of food in the living room with flies all over them. There's piles of food everywhere with flies. He hasn't mopped up the shower water on his floor because he's taken shower after shower after shower. And on this particular day, when she came over and I looked down at his relationship file, and this Betty, it was 100% love. It had a little heart there. I mean, she was in love with him, right? On the one day she's there, and on the one day that he coaxed her into the bedroom, he stinks to high heaven. He hasn't had a shower in 2 days, and there's flies buzzing around crap in his living room. So because it'll pop up a little pop-up screen, you click on the girl and say hug, talk, compliment her, whatever you want to do, however you want to make this relationship move forward, right? And I was able to get this relationship going forward, but just him talking to her, right? Because every time he complimented her, she turned to walk away. So I just kept him talking and talking. Pretty soon she was kind of digging it. So then I got him to entertain her, and he started juggling, and she was digging that. She laughed. And then I even got him to hug her, and she hugged him back. Okay, so now I got it going on real cool. So now comes like day 3 or 4 in this relationship. I get her back over to the house. Keep in mind, the guy hasn't eaten in 2 days. But I got to do something here, you know, because he doesn't have any money. So I figure maybe love will keep this guy alive until I can get him to bed early enough. Here's the other problem. I wasn't getting this guy to bed until 3 a.m, and he was missing his ride to work. So he's getting up at like 10:30. You hear this, and the car take off, and the guy wakes up. Forget it, you know. There is no button for oral sex, though, that I can see on this game. However, it does have kissing and hugging, and it has, well, what other buttons does it have? Does it actually say have sex? Craig's never gotten that far either. He's never gotten that far either. But I got her into the house, I got her into the bedroom, and he was in his pajamas. When he called her up, it was in the morning because he'd missed his ride to work, so he had nothing to do for the rest of the day. He doesn't have any money, can't buy food, but he called up Betty. She came over, and he was juggling for her and playing pinball with her. And then she, you know, she's watching, and she actually walked into the bathroom when he was taking a shower, and he got out nude, and she was standing there. So what does that tell you? I mean, that's fairly serious, right? So the dude gets into his clothes, goes into the bedroom, and as soon as she hugs him, she does one of these, ew, because he stunk. And I look down at his hygiene bar, and it's like it's 0. So, excuse me, he didn't take a shower yet. He didn't take a shower. Then I got him to take the shower. Then when he came out, she was now kind of distancing from him. So I hit talk on this button over and over again. Talk, 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 talk. Just talk to her, man. And she's gradually walking out the door. Talk, talk, talk. Finally, she turns around and starts coming back, right? I just talk, 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 okay? So she finally comes right up to him. And then I hit hug, and she didn't dig it. And she turned around and, like, started to split. And I think one of the reasons why she split is because his emotional life was forget it. I didn't have enough furniture for him. I didn't have enough food. His life sucked. I had to sell his TV set so we could get some food, money in the bank for food, right? So all the guy had was a CD player on his kitchen table. And so because of his really messed up head, she just, like, turned and split. She couldn't dig hanging with this guy. I did this till 1 o'clock in the morning. So this morning I told the kids, they go, oh, so, hooked on video games, huh? The next time you give us crap about playing video. One other woman walked by his house, and she was really sweet. And he ran across the street and started talking to her. I had him go across the street, go and start talking to her. And she was sort of like digging it, but gradually she just blew him off, and she kept on going. Because half the time, all the guy was doing was crying because he didn't have a relationship, and then screaming because he didn't have a TV set, and then screaming because he didn't have a couch, and then tired because he needed to sleep. Then I'd put him to bed, and he'd over-miss his ride. It's 12 noon, so I'd try to get him to take a nap, and he'd get up at 6 in the evening. It's just, the guy's life sucked. If I were God, it'd be a bad thing. If I were God, it'd be a bad thing. So you got to get the Sims game to see how life would be if you were God. And the other thing about this guy's life, it reminded me so much of mine, like in about 1975. No TV, no furniture, crap, you know, place stunk, finally get a girl over, talk, 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 and she finally, well, I gotta go now, it's kind of late. And I'm there till 1 o'clock in the morning. And getting depressed about this, too. God, I gotta get this guy laid, you know, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. 1-800-449-8686. Website, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Extreme Radio. One 800 449 8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Yeah, I just saw Jennifer Lopez is going to have a kid. Wow, that's great. And let's see, Madonna had a couple, and you know it's a real big piece of news when somebody in Hollywood has a kid, right? Hey, she's going to have a kid. She's going to be a mom. And then after they have the kid, then they give an interview with Vanity Fair or We or W or U or P, and they say what it's all about being a mom. Let me tell you what it's all about. Let me tell you how to be a mother. Let me tell you what I do. I have six nannies, and when I get tired of the kid, I just stuff him in one of these dumb waiters and just drop him to the floor or whatever, and I go out and have cocktails with my husband. But, you know, it's really tough being a mom, and on it goes. You know, I remember when I met my wife, she had four kids. She was sufficing on some fixed income. My wife was on welfare, basically. And, of course, I'm kidding, honey, if you're listening. You know I'm kidding, but there's about a half of the people now believe that. No, she had a job, and it was one that paid a modest salary, and she had, you know, four children, and she was struggling to put them through a Catholic school. And she was really, really doing not only that, but being a mother. And I remember one of the things that impressed me about her was, you know, I know she's my wife, so you're all going to say, well, naturally, you're going to back her up. But the thing that impressed me about her, or any woman like that, is the job thing and raising kids. Anybody that says you shouldn't have a job, you should stay home with your kid, has their head up their ass. I don't care who said it, too. Because they don't know what the world is or what it's about. And the real world is that most women already know what it is to be a mother, and they've got it down pretty good, some of them better than others, but they sure as hell know what it's like to pop a baby out and try to feed one and also try to support one and also have your own life. So when I get the Vanity Fair interview with starlet number three, who says, hey, I had a kid, you know, it's really interesting. Oh, yeah, what's it about? You know, kids, one thing about kids, they're very demanding. No, yes, yes they are. And then the words just flow like pearls, pearls of wisdom. One thing you'll notice about kids, what's that? They're really small. You know, I never knew that. They're small, and they cry a lot. Yeah. Well, that's heavy. And the other thing is that they like to eat, and if they don't eat, and here's something that all you people out there should, if your kid doesn't eat, he'll get angry. Wow, thank you for that newsflash number 400. So when Janice, when you got me that story, Jennifer Lopez wants to have a kid, the first thing I could see in my mind's eye was the Women's Wear Daily interview with Jennifer Lopez after she had her kid, and how the kids affect her life, and how she wants to stay home with her kid. She doesn't want to go on the road anymore because she wants to stay home with her kid. And maybe she'd like to cut her workload back, because after all, what's more important than one's family? And she's very lucky because her husband can work and she doesn't have to work. She also said she would give it all up for a kid. So, whoever the dad is, come on, man. On the cover of Underwear Daily, or whatever the hell they call it, what's the new name for Women's Wear Daily? Isn't it Rosie? Or was that, McCall's. On the cover, Parenting Tips from J-Lo. Can't wait to hear what that one's about. She's dating Ben Affleck, and we'll see whether or not that's going to produce any progeny. But I, you know, just cool it with all those stories, man. I just, tell me about being an actor, being a singer, being a writer. Tell me about the craft. Tell me how you sculpt a performance. Tell me how you put together a song. Tell me how you write a film. Tell me your theater experience. Who is your favorite playwright? Tell me about the great writers in Hollywood. Tell me about the great singers that came before you and some of the singers that will come after you. Talk to me about how you pick your costumes. Talk to me about... Don't tell me about how you're going to raise your kid. You haven't got anything to tell me. And whether you want to have a kid, it's none of their fault. I realize it is the stuff, it's the journalists have got to have, they're going to fill up the pages and everything, man. But I'm telling you, I've been campaigning against this for years. Just talk to me about what you know. Talk to me about what you know. You know how to throw a football, throw a baseball, dribble a basketball, hit a hockey puck, sing a song, sing another song, sing people. Don't talk to me about stuff you don't know anything about. I'll let Dr. Laura tell me how to raise my kids, not you. Thank you. Don't you tell me how to raise my kids. I'm my kid's dad. Here is Holly on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm hanging in here.
Oh, really? Oh,
you're
must
scaring
be depressed.
Me, though. I'm going to have a kid soon, and I'm changing my mind.
Why would you do that?
Just kidding. Just kidding, because you say they're
a
lot of work.
Yeah, they're a lot of work. So what?
Yeah, well, I already knew that.
Yeah, listen, big deal.
Speaking of work,
I'm letting J-Lo know that. She don't know that.
I have some Sims tips for you. Okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, when you buy stuff for your Sim, make sure you sell it all back before midnight and you get all the money back you spent on it.
Before midnight?
Right.
If you sell it the next day, how much do you get?
It lowers in value. So, like, say you buy, like, the big screen TV. Just sell it back at like 5 minutes to midnight. You get all $3,500 back.
Oh, really? As opposed to how much? What's the discount if I don't?
I think it's like $2,700. You lose a lot of money.
Oh, I got you.
So you can take all that money and then use it to buy food for your Sim who refuses to go to work.
Well, my Sim doesn't refuse to go to work. He's been sleeping in.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my fault. I'm the lord and master of his universe.
Wake him up before midnight, and then he can sleep in as much as he wants. He can lose his job, but it doesn't matter. He'll still have money.
Got it. All right, thanks. I didn't understand any of that, and I frankly don't care. I'm not looking to play the game really smooth and cool. You know, it's fun screwing it up, because, frankly, I dig the fact that the guy is smelling. Oh, look who's here.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Bobby, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. You're great, and I just...
Of course.
Sure. You know, I just really...
What is your question?
Well, why do you wear your hair like that?
How can I help you?
I just was curious. Who's your
Phil!
Cousin?
All right. I got on her show! I got on her show! 1-800-449-8686. How to tell if you're dating a nymphomaniac from FHM magazine. Let's see if this is a load of crap. We spend so much of our lives searching for that perfect girl when there are plenty of psychos who are perfect in another way. They're easy. Modern science has proved that the more a woman fits the following profile, the better the chances that she's loose. If you're tired of hunting and just want a good time, look for a woman with these traits. This is according to FHM, For Him magazine. Is that what it's called? She likes jazz. Very unusual in a woman. Very unusual in a woman. Don't you think it's rare? A woman who likes jazz. I'm not talking about the wave now. I ain't talking about Kenny G and what is it? Who's the other guy? Who's that guitar? Lee Ritenour. I'm talking about jazz. Frankly, I can't think of one musician now that it would exemplify what I think is jazz, but I'm talking about jazz. She's suspicious of the government, so she's angry. She's political. She's heady, which means she doesn't care whether you got a big fat gut or not. She digs you for your mind. She smokes. True. She's into romance novels. I don't see the connection there. She earns more than 30 G's a year. I don't get that either. What does that mean? She earns more than 30,000 a year. So she's what? She's flush? She earns more than 30 G's a year. She ain't going to date you for your dough? So I don't need your money. Oh, really? Yeah, I'm making 31.5. Well, Jesus. All right, thanks. Can I move in? She shows her emotions easily, especially anger. That's what you really want in your life. You want an angry chick. You want an angry woman. That's something that you're really going to enjoy. I was just watching Fatal Attraction because we thought we were going to dub off something for today's feature, Do It Like the Guy in the Movie, although we couldn't really find a good line. But that's what you want. Someone angry, someone demanding, someone who will not be ignored, someone who, in short, would cut your furniture up and stick screwdrivers in those brand new Pirellis. In short, the nicest lady. She shows her emotions easily. She becomes affectionate when drinking. That's the only one you need. You can throw everything else out. They're giving me a list of 16 things. All you have to do is she becomes affectionate when she's drinking. All right, thank you. We're done. Now on to our next feature here in FHM. If they were all that short, Jim, the magazine would be about 10 pages long. 8 pages of advertising, cologne, that really gay-looking underwear, all of that European kind of stuff, and then that one article, How to Know You Got a Nympho. She's really affectionate when she drinks. Thank you and good night. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, the weekend of the 22nd through the 24th of November is going to be our free weekend. Check out our website, listen to the Comedy Gold Archive, and like that.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay, so it's Halloween, so boo. And my kids are going to not go out because they're too old for it. Yes, they're too old for it, and they don't want to be embarrassed. So they're going to stay home, except for the little one. She's going to go to a friend's house. Nobody comes down our street because we live on one of these streets that's already just spooky. Our street is spooky from beginning to end. No kid wants to go on our street. One of the things about my street is there's no street lighting. We haven't gotten around. The Homeowners Association hasn't gotten around to putting it in yet. And so it's kind of, is there anything sadder than getting a jack-o'-lantern and getting a whole pot of candy and sitting there and waiting for a kid to come to a door that never comes? Is there anything sadder, I ask you? So we've given up, but that's cool. The kids go off and they do stuff at schools now. There's a few neighborhoods where it's really jumping. But I don't know if I don't know what the costume is she's going to wear. The guys are too big for that crap. So what I like to do is I want to rent a whole bunch of really scary movies and go home and watch them. That's my thing, right? If we weren't working tomorrow, I'd do like an all-nighter. just one really funky, scary, gory thing after another. Because I believe that sometimes you're just too old to go trick-or-treating and dressing up in makeup, like my screener and associate producer Chris Pelton, who came in looking like Satan today. Today was everybody was dressed in a costume, and I said to Kim at the front desk, "That's a very nice outfit." And I walked in, I said, "Jesus, that skirt's awfully short. What's she in work looking like a cheerleader for?" I totally spaced. And then when Pelton walked in with that red kisser and those horns coming out of his head, I thought I was going to freak. I thought I was going to jump out of the window. And then, oh, God, that's right, it's Halloween. So we'll stay home and we'll watch a lot of real freaky flicks. And I'm going to bust out the, you know, the real good ones. Resident Evil, of course, is, I think, on pay-per-view now. Evil Dead 2, I think, is... I got that someplace. I got it buried back in there somewhere. The kids think Resident Evil is just the bomb. And it's I know Craig doesn't like horror movies because he wets his pants, but the rest of us enjoy it an awful lot. Resident Evil, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness, Night of the Living Dead is cool, Halloween, but you got to get way down the road with Halloween. The first Halloween, it don't make it. The second Halloween ain't bad, and I think Halloween Season of the Witch is just fine. Nothing wrong with that. And Nightmare on Elm Street got really old after a while. You know, the rest of that. The Freddy freaking, what's his ass? Who's the cat man? Not Freddy Krueger, but who's the dude that axed up Jason, Friday the 13th? Jason Voorhees. What is he? And he did. He had the hockey mask. Evil Dead, Dead Evil, Evil Dead Evil is my favorite, and so I want to see that one, too. Some cool ones, man. You know, horror movies have got to be done the right way, and there's a certain disturbing kind of horror movie that I dig. Really disturbing, really just troubles you for days and days after. Very troubling movies. That's a good horror movie. You can have all the gore you want, but that doesn't stay with you for a long time. I'm talking about the real... troubling black and white, grainy ones. Like, for instance, this film that was made in France in the late 50s called Eyes Without a Face. Have you ever heard of Eyes Without a Face? No, you haven't, Craig. You're a liar. You're a liar.
It's a song, right?
No, it ain't a freaking song by Billy Idol. I'm talking about the movie. Have you ever heard of Eyes Without a Face? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, you haven't. You nod your head like you have. It's the Billy Idol song, yeah, but the movie Eyes Without a Face is about a girl horribly disfigured in an automobile accident. And her father is a mad scientist who is obsessed with getting his daughter's face back. And she walks about this large empty house throughout the day wearing a mask, just a white mask, right? And her father is abducting young women and, like, conducting experiments on their faces to try to make his daughter's face right. So he's got this vault downstairs with... you know, girls that are just hideously deformed, or they're dead. He just tosses their bodies. And meanwhile, this girl just walks around the house in this robe with this mask on. And so she finally has had enough of what her father is doing to these young women, this insane medical experiment that he's trying to conduct. She finally turns a pack of wild dogs loose on her old man, and they just, like, rip him to shreds. And none of this you see. It's all suggested by shadow and by, you know, the camera sort of shooting away. Until finally, at the end of the movie, she removes the mask, and you never do see her face. She removes the mask with her back to you, and she wanders out into the forest with the dogs following behind her. And that's the end of Eyes Without a Face.
Nee, nee, nee. Nee.
Good flick. And then there's Suspiria. You ever heard of that one? Suspiria is awesome. Awesome. So you got to dig this stuff, man. Resident Evil ain't got nothing on Suspiria or Eyes Without a Face. And you really got to get solid with these things. There's more to the imagination than meets the eye, if you know what I'm saying. All right, 1-800-449-8686, the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Would like to mention at this time that I've seen just enough stories about New York City tackling cell phone etiquette and other states tackling cell phone etiquette. It's starting to bother me. I'd like you to talk more on your cell phone in a movie theater, if you don't mind. The idea of cell phone etiquette is it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. And I suppose we should be polite, but I'm seeing just enough people getting bugged by the way others use their cell phones. Here's my question. What makes your movie more important than my phone call? What makes your movie or your church experience more important than my phone call? So talk away. I don't care. I don't care. Dude, talk on the subway, talk in your car, talk in the movies. Just go out and talk. What in God's name did we do before we had cell phones, man? Now, I got a cell phone. I'm hanging around with that thing shoved in my ear all the time, standing out in front of the grocery store, standing inside the grocery store, driving down the street in my car, you know, talking to my kids. I'm staying wherever I am, walking around out in front of the building here. I'm using my cell phone. I never in my life ever thought that I needed a phone as much as I do now. And by God, I can't live without that thing. And if I have to have it on in the movie theater because there's a phone call coming in, I'm going to have it on in the movie theater. What do you think about them apples there? Man. And you people with your cell phones, yeah, and what? Maybe the phone conversation I'm about to have is more interesting what you're going to do on that stage. Tell you what, it better be good or the phone's going on. I'm telling you right now. Into Act 3, if I ain't seeing something that I'm really digging, my phone's going back on.
We'd like to announce to the patrons, please, excuse me, but the theater's closing and I don't have a lot of money, so I'm trying to kill the pain. Please turn your cell phones off and respect the performers.
Why?
Beg your pardon?
Why?
What do you mean, why? Because we've got a guy. Who the hell are you, anyway?
I don't know. I got a phone call coming in.
Does anyone... Listen, pal. Turn it off and don't bug me.
Well, I got a phone call coming in. My realtor's calling.
Your realtor's calling? Well, that's... Maybe you can take it outside?
No, I don't think so. Tickets cost me $70.
What are you... Are you some kind of a smart ass? Hold on.
I gotta go down again. Ring. Hello? Yeah, I'll take the bid. Okay, great. Yeah, all right. I did. $710,000, all right.
Okay, did you sell your house?
Yes, I did.
All right, let's get the show on.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Well, you know who I am.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
What do you want, bud?
I'm going to do a list now, the Halloween list.
What list?
Halloween things sound dirty.
Halloween things that sound... All right, go ahead.
Okay, everybody, here are Halloween things that sound dirty but not. I'd like to get a little something in the sack. Just get on your hands and knees and bob your head. You scared me stiff. If you just lick it, it'll last longer. She got a nice pair of pumpkins. Once you get under the sheet, start moaning. It was so full and heavy, I had to use two hands. I got the best piece from that house. There's Halloween things that sound dirty. What's wrong?
It's just, I don't know, it's not you, man.
What's wrong?
It's nothing. It's fine. It didn't strike me as all that funny.
Well, what do you mean that funny? Show me your juju bees. I'll show you my big hunk. It's funny stuff.
Dude, that you know, that is like morning zoo. It's like...
What's the matter?
It's just, it's morning zoo stuff. I
Look, I'll make it more for your show. How about this one? Hey, Dracula, is that a steak in your pants? Or are you just happy to see me? Ha, 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 ha.
No, man. Look.
Well, I understand what's wrong.
Look, sit down for a minute, will you, bud?
Okay.
I've been wanting to talk to you, and I hate to do this here while I'm in the middle of the show.
What?
I don't really want you on the show anymore.
Why?
It's not working out anymore, man. I saw what happened when we were in Las Vegas. When you were on stage, it stiffed. I mean, in front of all those people, we laid the biggest egg with you.
But you do my voice.
It doesn't matter. All the more reason why I should say that you're not on the show anymore. Why would you care?
It just hurts, that's all.
Well, it may hurt, but I got to get you off the show. I got to start weeding out some of the characters that don't work on this show. You don't work, man. And it's a tough thing for me to say, and I feel bad.
But what about the backstory about how I hit my head on a tree in Ojai?
Yeah, that worked when I was in Ventura. Your name wasn't even Bud Dickman then.
What was it?
It was like Dave Del Wagon or something. Some character I came up with whose head went through a tree in Ventura. But then all of a sudden you turn into a cartoon. You sound like Froggy on that freaking Sesame Street. You're all wrong, man. You're not a very well-developed character. And I'm sorry. It's my fault, bud. My fault. It's not your fault. Don't freaking cry. It's not your fault. It's my fault. I didn't do a good job with you.
I could have been an intern for Paul Moyer.
You could have been an intern for... Well, why don't you go do it now? I'm sorry, man.
No, I never done nothing funny.
I'm not saying that you've not done nothing funny. Yeah, you've done some funny stuff. It just... I gotta move on, man. I gotta rotate this thing. I gotta evolve this show. I gotta get out of using you as a sort of comic relief during rant hours. I gotta stand on my own two feet. That's...
Oh, so that's what this is about.
Part of it, yes. Part of it, yes. I gotta stand on my own two feet, and I gotta just do this show sometimes. Now, I'm sorry.
Are you gonna eat those Wonka nerds?
And I was gonna... Here, do you want them? I thought you were all upset.
I just want to know if you're...
Take the Wonka nerds.
All right.
Okay.
Hey. What an asshole. See, that's too bad.
Yeah, it's too bad. I've been meaning to do that for a while. Sorry. You leaving yet?
I just want to see what you're going to say about me.
Just get out. I've been meaning to do that, and I'm sorry I had to do it the way I did it on the air, but I needed for that to be done.
You don't care about that R.C. Collins kid.
I changed R.C. Collins, man. He went from being a strident teenage goth freak to a military academy kid.
The way you changed me.
What are you now back in the studio? I got done firing you. Now you're back? I can't change anything about you, man. Your voice is too weird.
Make me a real boy.
Oh, okay, Pinocchio. Whatever you say there. I can't do anything with you. I can't use you. It's like that Dr. Jim Sadler character I got. You know, he sounds like a cartoon freak, too. Can't use it, man.
You knew this when you made me. You knew the day would come.
Well, no, I didn't, man. I thought maybe you'd take... Just go.
Prick.
Whoa, man. Whoa. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. I have just fired Bud Dickman. He's no longer on the program, and it's a tough word to use. But nonetheless, it is a word that I use because it's an absolute true fact. John Lee Malvo, by the way, is a Jamaican national. The lady that called me the other day and said that the news media got it all wrong because there's a conspiracy to paint with a black brush all Jamaican immigrants. Sorry, lady, but this guy's from Jamaica as big as life. He's a Jamaican national. He was arrested near Frederick, Maryland, as you know. He had been arrested on December 20th of 2001, held for 30 days on immigration charges. When they bust you on an immigration charge, there should be a boat waiting for you. Once it's determined that you are illegally in the country, there should be a boat that they say, here you go, here's your boat. Thank you. Yeah. Goodbye. Goodbye. Get out. The guy is in jail. There's no releasing this cat on bail, is there? If you have an immigration rap, you go on to the in front of the judge, you're here illegally. Yeah, well, get out of here. You're not here legally. Get out. Look, let me explain this one last time.
What a prick.
Would you get out of here? Let me explain this one last time. The United States is a country like every other country. It has borders, and it has a government, and it has citizens. Now, I know that in the eyes of most of the people of the world, it's this large, free enterprise drop zone where you can just go anytime you'd like. If you don't have enough money where you are, go to America and get some. If you don't have enough food where you are, go to America and get some. For some reason, this country has become not just a country. This place is a, it's like a supermarket where everything's free. Everybody else is a country, but America is a supermarket. We're just a big market. Oh, I know. I'll go to America. I'll go to America and get shoes. I'll go to America and get a Mercedes. I'll go to America and have a beach house. I'll go to America and get some racehorses. I'll go to America and get some, you know, my wife will go shopping in Miami. I'll go to America and own a movie studio. I'll just go to America and get everything I need, right? If you're a Haitian or a Jamaican, you're poor, or you're from France or wherever you're from, you go to America and try to get a job. You just go to America. Well, no, you don't just go to America. It's a country like your country. The only difference is we learned how to do it right. The only difference between America and any other country is we happen to be the best country that there ever has been. That's all. Somebody's got to be the best country. Well, it's us. We're more representative in terms of government. Our economy is great. Our people, for the most part, are a tough, tried and true, yes, sometimes psychotic, but for the most part, a pretty tough breed of people. You know, all of the good things you can think of, that's what we are. And some of the bad. Frankly, though, whatever's bad about this country, it's 86 million times worse anywhere else. You don't believe me? Try going there. So, when I heard these guys say, hey, it's America, everybody gets to go there. Wrong. 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 You don't get to come here, man. You can come here legally. You can get a visa, you can get a work visa, you can get a green card, and you can work for your citizenship. And then I say, God bless you, you're an American. Come on, sit down, let's have a drink. Until then, go pound sand, will you? Get on your boat and get out.
You're a prick.
And I'll talk to you later. I'm done. You're fired. Get out of here.
Are you going to send me back to Afrakica?
Yeah, that's it, bud. Afrakica.
1-800-449-8686.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
From yesterday's show, Rudy Canoza is the owner of Je T'aime Lingerie on Ventura Boulevard, and he sees a lot of fat women coming into his store, and he believes if he sees a large-bodied woman, he has the right to slap food out of her hand.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Is a man in love with you?
Pardon me?
Is there a man in love with you?
No, I'm divorced, so explain that.
Ah, so you see.
No,
you
so
think
you
are la-la-la, but you...
Let me tell you something.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, and I demand respect that you listen.
I will listen to you, Laurie, but you have to listen to
so
me,
much.
Too.
Yes, I will.
And you know you're
so
not la-la-la, because
thank
no matter...
So
will you be quiet, Rudy, and let the lady talk?
Okay.
I would like to tell you that I
yeah?
don't believe I
How
have
about
ever, where? Ever... Oh, that's rude.
Boy, can you believe that? Did you hit another one?
No, I did not.
Okay.
Go ahead, Lori.
I would like to tell you that I don't believe I have ever heard such blatant disrespect for females in my life. Your name is not God, spelled G-O-D, and you have no right whatsoever to tell anyone how to live their life. Let me tell you one
thing. You can't have the food, so you are like a big pig.
Pardon me.
You heard the woman, she was like a pig.
Let the lady finish, Rudy.
You know what?
But she was
women are not pigs. Women are precious.
What? Precious? She was 5'6", 250 pounds. She was a pig.
Who?
The lady who just spoke with me on the phone. I don't know.
Have you met that woman? Do you know what's in her heart? Do you know how kind she could be?
Real sexy.
You know what?
Oh, God, Rudy. I mean, there is such a thing as kindness and beauty inside. You ever heard the saying, beauty's only skin deep?
Oh, okay.
And let me tell you something.
Hey.
Rudy?
That's marvelous. Beauty's
Rudy.
Only... Yes.
Let me tell you something. Maribel got the best end of the deal because she didn't have to live with you for the rest of her life.
She is not in Argentina. She's a pig. She's a pig in Argentina.
She's a lucky pig because she doesn't have to have you as a hog.
If I slapped the pork chop from her hand, she would be with me today.
And God bless her. I'm glad she made the decision not to be with you.
Well, Rudy, the lady's got a point.
And let me ask you something, Mr. Henry. Since when are you Dr. Phil McGraw?
I'm not Dr. Phil McGraw.
You're coming on like you're Mr.
Phil.
What? What?
He would be better Mr. Phil than you would God.
Whatever. What? How many minutes has it been since the last pork chop inhalation for you? Did you even wait for the pig to die? These are the questions that I ask myself when I see a woman of his weight.
You know,
if I saw a woman of your stature in my shop...
You sound like you're the type of guy that likes gerbils. How about that?
You were calling me queer?
Well, I'm not sure. Does the shoe fit?
Woohoo! I'm a gay boy. I'm a gay boy.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
That Rudy is the bomb, ain't he? Rudy Canosa, man. Je t'aime lingerie. You ain't the la-la-la. That cat is... He can pick up anybody's day. 1-800-449-8686. Jesus, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello?
Yeah, hey, Phil. Radio God.
How you doing?
Pretty good. I had a couple questions. You were talking about movies. I had a question about Gary Shandling, but you were talking about movies just a while back. And two movies that kind of really disturbed me. One was, I saw about 10 years ago, it was black and white. I think it was made somewhere in the 20s. It might have been one of those silent movies called Freaks.
Oh, that flick is out of sight. Yeah, I saw that.
That would kind of disturb me.
It was made in 32 by Todd Browning.
Was it silent? Was it one of those silent?
No, it had sound. You saw it. Didn't it have sound?
Well, it's like 10 years ago, and I'm trying to remember. I remember it was kind of disturbing.
Yeah, the flick, it was made in 1932 by Todd Browning, who was the same guy that made the first Dracula. And those were, and he scoured the country with talent agents looking for, literally, the greatest circus freaks.
Yeah.
And those people that you saw in that movie were the stars in their world. I think they had a couple of people who were what were called pinheads. They're actually microcephalic. Their craniums were too small.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they had one girl with no arms. The freakiest cat was that torso man, the dude that had no arms and no legs.
Yeah, yeah.
That dude could roll light and smoke a cigarette all with his mouth.
Oh.
And there were all kinds of cats in that movie that were just way, way out there.
Yeah.
Now, that movie was released by Browning's studio at the time, which I think was MGM, and it absolutely got destroyed. The critics ripped it. The audiences vomited. Literally, people were running out of the theaters.
Yeah. And it had, a couple different names, too.
Strangest Love of All, it was another one. But what happened with Freaks is... It remained buried, and I think it was banned outright in Great Britain for 30, 40 years until the 60s. It started popping up again at film festivals and has regained some respect in the film community. I saw it in 71 out at the Los Feliz Theater in Hollywood in L.A., and I remember because June Lockhart got out of a limousine with two really good-looking younger men. But anyway... I reminded her of it when I saw her here that day. Anyway, so I went and saw this flick, and especially at the very end where they cut off the legs of that woman and, her face was all gouged out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that flick is really scary. That flick today would still scare people.
Yeah. I saw one just recently. It was a Japanese one called Audition. I'm not sure if you ever got to see that one.
No, I didn't.
No, Audition. If you get to see it, it's kind of a little bit disturbing.
Cool.
But a question I was listening a couple months ago. Gary Chandling called in. Talking about Bobby Doolin having some kind of auction, I'm just wondering, did Gary Chandling know that you were putting on the
show?
Yeah,
Gary was actually here.
Oh, he was?
Yeah,
okay.
He was in the studio.
Wow.
And he said, can I do something on this bit. I said, why don't you, or he wanted to call in as Gary, because Bobby was saying Gary Shandling was going to be the judge of their fall-tacular crap. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That was great. I thought he actually called in.
He was actually here with Greg Kinnear, and they'd been bar hopping, and they decided to stop in.
Yeah.
Good, man.
Wow.
Thanks, Jesus.
Sure.
Good to talk to you.
Sure, same.
Bye. Yeah, freaks. We should sponsor another showing of that. It's always around someplace. There's always a film festival of showing Freaks. But I just got done reading the Todd Browning biography. That movie today would definitely gross some people out. Definitely gross people out. And probably the most disturbing part of this flick is it's actually pretty funny. At the end of the movie, what happens is this. Let me give you the whole story. It's a circus. And there's a lot of circus freaks, and there's also a trapeze artist, and there's also a strongman, and there's also animals, and everything that a circus would have. And there's a clown, and that's played by Wallace Ford, and he's kind of a good guy. He's a friend of the freaks, and there's a beautiful chick. She's a friend of the freaks. But there's this really gorgeous trapeze artist, and she's having an affair with the strongman. And she finds out that one of the midgets in the freak aspect of the circus came into some very serious cabbage. In fact, that's what she says. The midget's got some cabbage. No, she didn't. So the midget came into a lot of money, and so she decides to pretend like she digs him and loves him, and the little midget drops his midget girlfriend for this big woman who is, like, gorgeous, and he marries her. And the wedding feast in Freaks is one of the most memorable things probably ever filmed, because all the freaks are sitting at this table. Dudes without arms, a bearded lady. There's this one girl who had some disease that ages you fast. She was called the bird girl, and she's dancing around on the table, and there's the little, you know, pinhead people. And it's wild, man. It's just a wild scene. And at this point in this wedding feast, she takes a cup of wine, the trapeze artist, and she throws it into the face of one of the freaks and said, "I'll never be like you. I will never be one of you," because the freaks were saying, "You're one of us now." Well, they never forgot that offense, because in the movie it says, "Offend one, you offend them all." Freaks now playing. So now cut to the pivotal scene in the movie where she's decided, along with her strongman boyfriend, to poison the midget and make off with the bread. Somehow the freaks have found out about her plans, and when the fateful night comes, they chase her and the strongman out of their trailers. In fact, the clown tries to get the strongman, but the strongman beats the crap out of the clown. So the midgets, at one point when the midgets decide they're going to get the woman, you can see them polishing up Lugers and knives and stuff. It's pretty funny. This little midget's got this freaking gun, this Magnum, just,
"Right, Eddie, I'll see you outside."
So they chase the trapeze artist and the strongman out into the night. And it's, again, one of these memorable scenes. It's raining. And there's mud, and as she stands against a tree screaming, you see crawling through the mud these freaks, like the guy with no arms and no legs. There's one cat named Johnny Halfboy. The dude literally had no body below the waist, so he'd walk around on his hands. I mean, the cat was, you know, the guy's still alive, I think, or was, anyway. And so they crawl toward her, and they crawl toward the strong man, and then they pin her against the tree, and then you see this fade out. Then you fade back in. There's a freak show on a side street in some town in America, and there's two guys standing there looking down at an exhibit. And they're like, "God, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. Let's get out of here." And the camera pans down, and what they did to the trapeze artist is they basically cut her legs off, scarred up her face, and put feathers all over her, and they called her the human chicken. So she just sits in this pen all day long, squawking. And then the strongman, the guy was sitting on a trapeze singing soprano. So they just sort of did a little clip job on him. And Browning was forced into by the studio to have a little happy ending. The two little midgets get back together again. Oh, it's wild, man. It is wild. You got to see it. Okay, in fact, I'm going to leave now and go see Freaks. I'm going to get myself a beer. Go downstairs and do a little screening of it. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
800-259-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Our website is philhenryshow.com, and we'd like you to visit there because there is an opportunity for you to pick up all kinds of Phil Henry Show souvenirs and merchandise, but you can also get a backstage pass and listen to our program anytime you'd like on the internet. No matter where you are, a backstage pass affords you the opportunity to listen to the Phil Henry Show on the internet. And you can also hear our archives of comedy classics, our long-form and short-form bits going back 8, 9 years, things that people request, things that people want to hear again. We also have an archive of our last 30 days' worth of shows. It's all there, available with a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. However, maybe you don't believe me. Maybe you think I'm full of it. Well, join us the 22nd through the 24th of November. It's a free weekend, and you'll be able to listen to everything there and make up your mind. You may be running screaming from the net when you hear it. You may dig it. You may want to wrap your arms and legs around me in the most provocative of manners. But whatever, listen, make up your own mind, and then call us up, dial us up, get that backstage pass. Also, check out our souvenirs in the souvenir shop and our Best of the Year 2002 CD. I am told by my faithful friends, Mr. Pelton, Mr. Taylor, and Ms. Ngaro, that 2002 CD is right around the corner. Yeah, Phil, it won't be long now, man. That's what they said back in August. So we're looking forward to the release of that. No one more than me. God, please let it come before Christmas so we can take advantage of the Christmas holiday. Oh, they're picked? All the cuts are picked? Well, see, this is a double CD. The reason why it's taken us so long this year, it's a 2-CD package, baby. More stuff than it was impossible to find. Whatever you want to put on a best-of CD? We had reams of great stuff. So we've got 2 CDs, and it still isn't enough. That's the kind of quality material we pump out day in and day out on this show. Day in and day out on this program. So we're going to give you a double CD. It's only $20, the same price as last year's, and it'll be available online, and it'll also be available, we hope, at a variety of signings that we're going to be doing throughout the remainder of this year and the beginning of next year. So is this from FHM as well? This is a list of monsters. See, monsters are kind of a kick. I remember when I was in Miami, Chupacabra was the thing. Never did figure out what that was. It's some kind of a goat thing, a goat boy, and it would suck blood out of an ape. Or, you know, it beat up old ladies. It did something. The one that I really find fascinating is the Loch Ness Monster, because the Loch Ness Monster, if ever there was a monster that should be declassified and kicked out of monster high school, it's that one. It don't belong anymore. The Loch Ness Monster is a pile, and I'll tell you why. Because they already went across that lock with sounding equipment, radar equipment. I mean, they went back and forth with ships 25 abreast. Couldn't find a thing. Year in, year out, couldn't find a thing. And I lost $5 when I bet at a off-track betting parlor in London, £5, whatever the hell it was, that they would find the Loch Ness Monster, and I got 301 odds, and I dropped 5 stinking pounds. So nobody more than me would like to see that thing removed from the Monster Hall of Fame. Get out of here! You can now hunt for the Loch Ness Monster right in your own bedroom with a 24-hour Loch Ness web camera. The folks at Scotland Online might be milking the mysterious underwater creature for every tourist dollar imaginable. With a camera 750 feet below the water and another on the surface, you can try to confirm Nessie's statue or status as Lady of the Lake. But if you can't, there are always the souvenir salt and pepper shakers. Come on up on May 2nd for International Loch Ness Monster Day, says Nessie Club President Gary Campbell, a 32-year-old alcoholic a 32-year-old accountant. Does Bigfoot have his own holiday? I think not. The site is Scotland Online. Scotland Online. Now, they got another character named Mothman, a red-eyed, 7-foot flying man bird. It got what every monster wants for everlasting fame, a major motion picture. The Mothman Prophecy, starring Richard Gere, told the story of the car-chasing animal, mutilating critter that menaced the Appalachian town of Point Pleasant, West Virginia, between 1966 and 1967. Several Point Pleasant residents say that when the town's Silver Bridge collapsed on December 15, 67, and 46 people died, Mothman's eerie squeal rang out. With a movie finally released, Point Pleasant hoped to cash in on its infamy. The town prepared with cheap souvenirs and tours. But the movie stiffed, stunk it up, goodbye, and even worse, Mothman has returned. On January 25th, when the movie opened, the town suffered a blackout. Within the next 6 days, most eight people died in traffic accidents, the most in 40 years. Said old Lauren Coleman, author of The Mothman and Other Curious Encounters, that GD thing is back. Well, how about that? Mothman, have another cocktail. What are you putting me on? 7 feet tall, red eyes, man bird, and he's immortal. And he just sort of comes in and out of our lives. Whenever we're down, he comes in and out of our lives to kick us a little bit more. I talked to a guy once who believed that Mothman, or not Mothman, he believed that Bigfoot and other creatures like him, Loch Ness Monster, were traveling intradimensionally, meaning they went from one dimension to the next, so that if you see Bigfoot, he's really not of this dimension, he's from another dimension, and he got loose into our dimension. And I looked at that guy and I said, well, I didn't say anything. We wound up having sex. But for no reason other than the fact that I found him attractive. But frankly, I think the whole thing is poo-poo, which is going to be the title of my next book, Mothman, What a Load of Poo. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Extreme Radio. And now, Phil Hendry.
And so, I came to the store.
And we're on the air right now, Mr. Green.
Yes, sir.
And just to tell people, Robert Green, he is the manager of Fraser Foods in Buena Park, charged with sexual harassment?
No, the complaint was of sexual harassment, but let me explain. My assistant manager came to work on Monday in a costume, as we all did, because we work all week at the store in costume for the Halloween holiday.
I understand that.
She came dressed in what was a very provocative leather bodysuit as a demon or as the devil. At that time, it was my determination that she wanted it. And
well, what when you say that she wanted it,
that she was interested in the in my advances.
Because of the costume?
My explanation for that, Phil, is people on Halloween wear costumes that reflect their inner selves or the person they would like to be. Or they wear a costume to hide who they really are. But a woman that wears a very tight leather demon costume, I think, is sending a very obvious sexual message.
You're the manager of a grocery store. You have a lot of people in your employ. She's the assistant manager, correct?
Yes.
So you know that sexual harassment means in a work environment that if you have a position of power over a woman or a man, and you can benefit from that, or they can benefit from, you know, sexually, you know, pleasuring you, then there's a problem there, right?
I sincerely was not sexually harassing her. That's where you have it wrong.
Well, that's not what she claims. She says that you came up behind her and simulated sex.
No, I did not.
You did not come up behind her, grab her hips, and begin simulating sex.
No, I did not. She was wearing a black leather tight demon suit. She had simulated demon horns. It was a costume.
I understand. Was it like a very sexy little outfit?
Yeah, it was a sexy devil outfit. obviously, she's sending the message that that's who she is inside. Why else would she wear it?
I'm not disputing that people perhaps on Halloween put on costumes that express an inner self. I'm disputing whether you had the right to come up and simulate sex.
I did not.
Well, then you tell me what you did.
When I saw her, Phil, she came. I saw her come into the office, and she generally will put the check floats in there. We have a safe in the office.
Okay.
She walked into the office, and she bent over. She said, "Good morning, Bob," to me. She opened the safe and was putting the check floats in. At that time, I noticed the costume she was wearing. She had on the back of the costume a red devil tail with an arrow at the bottom of it. And at this time, I have to inform you and your audience that the arrow was pointing to her rectum.
All right, sir.
And that was my determination. That's what I told.
All right, sir. We're going to stop this right here, okay?
Well, that was that's what I told my attorney.
And you believe that as a result of that, it was an invitation to you?
I am putting all the pieces together for you, and I am making it clear that on Halloween, when someone wears a costume, they're expressing their inner self.
And in this instance, this woman's name is Kay Sullivan. She's the assistant manager at Fraser Foods. She was expressing an inner devil.
That is my determination.
Did you simulate sex with this woman?
No, I walked over to her and I said, "You know you want it," and then I kissed her.
She said that you simulated sex and that you put your tongue, you began licking her face with your tongue and putting it in her ear.
That is an absolute lie. That is an absolute lie.
But you did say the phrase, "You know you want it."
Yeah, and I don't back away from that.
And why not?
Am I on trial here?
Well, your lawyer called us and said you wanted to have this conversation.
I said you know you want it because a woman that will show up in a demon costume, you know, she's sending a message. She wants it.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Hendry Show. With me this evening is the manager of a grocery store in Buena Park, California, Fraser Foods. His name is Robert Green. They're wearing Halloween costumes all this week where they work, and one of the employees, the assistant manager, and I assume she's directly under you.
As the assistant manager, I'm the manager of the store, she's the assistant manager, I'm also vice president with the company.
All right, and this woman walked in wearing a tight devil costume, which you took to mean she is desirous of sex with you?
Desirous of sex with me, yes, because she works in the same office with me. And a demoness costume, if you know anything about witchcraft or sorcery, a demoness costume, which is the female demon, means only one thing and one thing only, and that means sodomy.
I'm not familiar with demonology, so I don't know.
Well, I can tell you, if she wasn't sending the message of sex, why didn't she dress up like Cinderella or Snow White?
It's also a good point. I just wanted to get the... she says that you pushed her onto the wall and simulated sex with her, ran your tongue up and down her face.
Because she wants it, or she did want it.
Well, now she's saying that she didn't want it.
That is a lie. And this is what every American man has to put up with. Woman come into your office, and she's all dressed up like that, and I'm starting to sweat looking at it. She knows she wants it. I know she wants it. I nearly did what she directed me to do with her tail, and that was aimed at her rear.
You really believe that whole thing with the arrow of the tail?
I think that there is some significance, Mr. Hendry, as I said, to the costumes that people wear on Halloween.
All right, let me. What did you wear? What are you wearing? What costume are you wearing this week?
I'm dressed as President Reagan.
President Reagan?
Yes, because I admired the man. I thought he was one of our great presidents.
Do you think that that is appropriate behavior for President Reagan to be attempting to come up behind a demon?
Look, Mr. Hendry, I admired President Reagan. I thought he was the greatest of all our presidents, and I don't think I did anything wrong. I believe she wanted it.
Even though she says now she didn't want it. I think that there is a reason, you know, that you acted on it this week and not all the other years, sir, that you had this kind of employee demonstration.
Well, I don't think I crossed the line. But this year, Kay was wearing that devil costume with a tail that accentuated her rear back area. And here's what I told my attorney. Even though you may think I'm crazy, this is the truth, and my attorney has it. I said that tail had an arrow, and it was pointed right at her at her butt.
And you believe it?
She come in the devil costume, and I'll be honest with you, my heart skipped a beat. And then she said, "Hey, Bob," which can be taken in many ways as she bent over to put the check floats in the safe.
How can that be taken, "Hey, Bob"?
Well, if you say, "Hi, Bob," it means "Hi, Bob," or "Good morning, Bob." But "Hey, Bob" is the beginning of, I think, a sexual come-on. And I'm going to defend myself vigorously.
And that's when you simulated sex.
I did not agree that, I don't agree that I simulated sex. I did say, "You know you want it," and then I kissed her aggressively.
Robert Greene is the manager of Fraser Food. You heard the whole story. And the unusual aspect of this story, it is a sexual harassment case, but he says a woman wearing a tight, sexy devil costume is actually expressing an inner person, her inner, she's really expressing who she really is. And as the result, he said to her, quote, "You know you want it," and he kissed her, end quote. She claims that he came up behind her and simulated sex. I was just as surprised by all of this, listening to this. He claims that this lady provoked the action. Do you think that costumes express who we really are? And if they do, are they an invitation to something that we might not do otherwise? 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Robert Greene, who's the manager of a grocery store, you're in some serious trouble here, Mr. Greene. You are being accused of sexually harassing your assistant manager because she was wearing a tight fitting devil costume for Halloween week. You keep using this term. She wants it. What's the difference between that and a woman who wears a tight dress into a bar and is raped? And the guys say, because she wore that dress, she wanted it.
I knew you would ask me that, and my attorney asked me that too, Phil. It's a very, very simple way to offset that argument. This is a costume. This is an expression of who she thinks she really is. Okay? And I didn't rape anybody. I said, "You know you want it," and I kissed her. And
what does that mean, "You know you want it," when you say that phrase?
She knows she wants it. She knows she when she put in... when she got into that costume, and it's tight all through the private area of a woman, it's very tight. She knows she wants it. And
you keep using that phrase, "She wants sex," right?
I believe that she wants to have it. Yeah, good and hard. That's the way I think.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Better watch how you dress for Halloween, ladies. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
What does that mean?
Don't worry. Lisa, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. I just have to say that this guy thinks that Halloween is...
Have you got a radio turned up anywhere, ma'am?
No, it's off.
Okay.
I think what, ma'am?
It appears that he believes Halloween's an excuse to sexually harass somebody.
No, I did not. You tell me I'm wrong, that when a woman dresses up in a devil costume, she's not expressing a side of herself that's or sexy or whatever.
You know, I can absolutely tell you that you are wrong.
No,
she
you can't.
She is just dressing up as a character for Halloween.
Why a devil? And why is it tight? Why the high heels?
It's a costume.
Yeah, okay, she could dress up in an ugly mask, but she's trying to look sexy.
If you think that someone looking attractive is a reason to harass them, you're wrong.
Well, I can tell by the way you're sort of stumbling for something to say. You understand my point.
Well, I don't know that the lady's stumbling for something to say.
Well,
actually, I'm driving trick-or-treaters at the same time. The point is you have no right to sexually harass somebody just because of the clothing they're wearing. And if you think Halloween is your excuse to take and push yourself off on somebody, you're wrong.
Can I ask you a question? What did I do? And you're with trick-or-treaters. Are you with trick-or-treaters right now?
Yes.
Do you have a flashlight?
Yes.
Because I'm part of my neighborhood watch. A flashlight.
Well, that's fine, sir. We'll get to that. I'm trying to answer this lady's questions. Okay? So what were you going to say to her?
I want to know what I did that was so sexually harassing.
You aggressively kissed a woman in a workplace setting, and you used her Halloween costume as an excuse?
She wanted it.
Did she tell you
she wanted it?
Yeah.
She said, come over here and take me now.
Well, what is she wearing that costume for is my point.
Because it's Halloween. Grow up.
And again, she's wearing a tail that has an arrow at the end of it pointing to her you-know-what.
And you think that her tail pointing to her you-know-what entitles you to press yourself all over her?
Come on, ma'am. I mean, when I see an arrow on a road sign, I go that way. She claims I licked her eyeballs aggressively, which is an absolute... It's slander, and she'll get a lawsuit.
Did you lick her face?
I licked part of her face, yes.
And you think this is appropriate workplace behavior, no matter what holiday it is or what costume she's wearing?
It seemed like she wanted it.
You keep saying that, sir. Did you lick her upper nose? I mean, I'm looking at the complaint that this woman filed. Licked her eyes, her face. She said that you held onto her by her waist and licked her like a dog.
You know, Phil, even if this wasn't Halloween, that's still not appropriate workplace behavior. You know, if she thinks she might be interested, then he could ask her out after work and then ask her if she's interested. You don't maul somebody in the office.
What about that, sir?
All right, then why is she wearing... Let me ask you, she could have pointed that arrow on her tail somewhere else, but it pointed right at her you-know-what.
If your mind is in the gutter, you're going to make whatever you want to out of her costume.
All right, but I can tell you this, Mr. Henry, and I say this to your entire audience. A woman has a choice. She can dress up as a call girl, or she can dress up as a nurse. Interesting that she chooses a call girl. Thank you.
No, that wasn't a call girl. That was the devil. The devil
wasn't she the devil?
She tried to point the arrow tail right into her you-know-what.
I think you've seen what you wanted to see because you thought you would get away with inappropriate behavior.
Well, ma'am, I think she wanted it in her you-know-what.
All right, I've had enough of the euphemism, the double entendres here. Thank you very much, Lisa. The arrow was pointed to her you-know-what, so she wanted it in her you-know-what. You're really, real...
Well, and now you're laughing at me, and I'm the guy that's twisting in the wind on this thing.
Let's go to Tom on the Phil Henry Show. Tom?
Good evening, Mr. Henry. First time I've heard the show. I'm driver. I'm out here
That's
on the
nice.
Road.
What's
I gotta tell
comment?
You, you're the reason why some of this sexual harassment, erroneous sexual harassment suits have been filed, man. Sir, you were out of line. I don't care if she was dressed up as a hooker and she was in a total see-through costume. You do not approach somebody like that at work. You do not
carry on
behavior.
Okay.
And you are a manager. You are a manager.
Why don't you answer my question?
Go ahead.
How come she's wearing a costume like that if she doesn't want it?
When she wants it. Now you're a psychologist and a telepathic mind reader. What the hell does the costume have to do with it? That's ridiculous, sir.
I'm absolutely
ridiculous. You're a manager of employees. How could you carry on like this? You should be twisting in the wind. Again, as Mr. Henry brought up, that means that a girl that's walking down the street in a bikini wants you to reveal the rest of her clothes because she's secretly wanting to be nude because she's in a bikini? Give me a break,
sir. Well,
that's
absurd. That's not a costume. That happens to be a swimsuit.
I'm talking about a costume of a devil, where
she is tight. She might as well have had a sign on her rear end that said, Dirt Road Ahead.
Well, why would you engage in behavior with someone like that at work? Why, when the previous caller, you know, why don't you just ask the girl out for coffee? You know, it's being an adult. You don't carry on like you're a sophomore in high school with your hormones out of control because what you think this lady wanted. Come on.
This is the problem that you're going to be in, and you're going to have her attorney telling you, do you read words?
And he deserves the twist in the wind. He was out of line. He was a pig. He was not a gentleman about this because what he thought, you know, you don't carry on with what you think. You act like an adult, and you ask the lady out in a nice fashion. You ask her for coffee.
Since when are the guys not stick together in this stuff anymore? You're calling
me. When? What are you talking about? I am a gentleman. I behave with people that I work with in a professional manner. And if there was someone, I've been married for 21 years, but if there was someone, first of all, to be friends and then carry into sexual contact, I wouldn't jam my tongue down her throat and lick her face because of what I thought she wanted.
You sound like your wife put you on the phone.
No, I'm in a semi. My wife's 150 miles away from me, sir.
Right.
And I'm only...
You're pulling the Dolly's truck stop for a piece of pie, and Dolly's dressed up like a devil. You're going to want more than a piece of pie.
Excuse me. Again, this is your telepathic...
No, sir, you are out of line.
I hope you do twist in the wind.
Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Robert Greene is with us. He is in a big bunch of trouble. He's got a sexual harassment suit. His assistant manager came to work dressed in a tight devil costume, and he assumed that a costume is an expression of what your inner persona, your inner life is. He thought because she dressed as a devil, she really wants sex, and that she is a devil. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Really gonna get it in her, you know what? And
you think she wants it in her quote, you know what? As you say, why do you say that? I'm with Robert Greene. I'm with Robert Greene. He is the manager of Fraser Foods, charged with sexual harassment by coming up and simulating sex with a lady in a devil costume. His assistant manager. Why do you say that?
Because we are a generation who learn by signs and symbols, not words, Mr. Henry. So when I'm shown an arrow that points to something, I will follow it, even if it goes to where you know what or wherever.
Doesn't matter what she thinks about it.
She wanted it. She wouldn't have been in the devil costume if she didn't want it good.
Jesus, you sound like some bar rapist. You know that?
Well, if... Keep talking, pal, and my attorney will have a subpoena for you, too.
If that's fine with me, I'd be happy to go in front of a judge on this. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
What is wrong with just saying derriere or something? What is the problem with that? My first off is what state are you originally from?
What do you mean derriere?
No, he seems to have a problem with, where's the arrow pointed to?
Her you-know-what. What do you want me to say?
Or no, well, can't you say derriere? We all know what a derriere is.
Yeah, but it's not just the derriere. It's a specific spot.
A specific spot.
Yeah.
What state are you originally from?
I'm originally from North Carolina. Charlotte.
Oh, North Carolina. Oh, I was just wondering because you act like you're from some backwoods place. You've never seen a pretty girl or a pretty young lady or a woman. And, have you had the hots for her for a while?
I think she's attractive, but she's never invited me to express how I feel.
Well, then what gives you that right to express on how you feel while she's dressed up for Halloween?
I believe that the devil costume was a message she was sending to me, that she inside is hot and ready to go for broke.
Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. That's very wrong. There's
when I got out of Atascadero, the counselor there told me to express my feelings.
No,
need to turn your radio,
that
John.
That was the wrong thing to
John,
do. Halloween.
John, turn your radio down. Turn your radio down, John.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
Let
okay.
Let me turn it off here.
No, but the counselor at Atascadero said,
Well, let me ask you this. Come Easter, if she dresses up like a bunny rabbit and has a big old white puffy tail on there, you know, does that give you the authority to do what you just done? What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, isn't that inviting me to look at her thing?
What do you mean? I got to ask you something, Bob. Were you caught in the men's bathroom 10 minutes after this encounter?
Somebody, when you say caught, what do you mean?
You were found in the men's bathroom 10 minutes after this encounter with this lady, weren't you?
Yes.
What were you doing?
None of your business.
Wow.
None of my business, huh?
I don't even want to know. That's a little bit too much for me.
When I got out of Atascadero...
And when you say you got out of Atascadero is a state criminal mental hospital in California. What were you in there for?
I'm a registered sex offender with the state of California's Attorney General Office.
Well, there's your answer.
Wait a second. You can't tie this in with that.
Well, why not?
How could you tie this...
What do you mean we can't tie this in with that? You're a registered sex offender, and you're licking some woman because she wants it.
No doubt.
That's... You said she's got a bunny rabbit tail. If the tail lifts slightly above her, you know what? That means she wants a carrot there.
Okay, John...
Something's wrong here. This gentleman needs some help.
What did I do wrong?
I think you need to go back and talk to somebody. You may need medication.
Oh, because I'm attracted to women? Ha, 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 ha. Boy, you guys...
Well, there's not a problem being attracted to women, but the last caller that was on there, you know, why can't you do it the right way? Be a gentleman and ask. You know, I ask him out for a cup of coffee or a
she
drink.
She was tempting me just like the devil does.
Well, I think devil's attempted you.
Yeah, and I think that you need to go back and talk to that counselor.
I'll never go back to Atascadero, never.
No, I'm not saying you have to go back inside. Just talk to somebody on the outside about this.
When I was arrested,
I was known,
they had me in the San Marino paper as the Lady Licker of San Marino. Hello?
Okay,
are
John,
you still there?
Yeah, John, I'll see you later, man. I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
Thanks very much.
All right, man. Bye.
The Lady Licker of San Marino, huh?
Well, sure.
Let me ask you something, man. Am I supposed to go into your grocery store with my wife and daughter and buy stuff?
Well, yeah. We have, a special on pork chops right now, $6.99 a pound. The other thing they called me was the last licker.
Hi, pal. Have a good life.
So you agree with me?
No, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you at all. I just think that this attorney is going to eat you up and spit you out on this sexual harassment case, and if you still have that job managing that grocery store next week or next month or next year, I will be very, very surprised.
So what are you getting at?
1-800-449-8686. Unbelievable. And who's that?
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Our website is philhendryshow.com. Just head on over there. We also have the wall of female listeners on our website. And every now and again, we'll get a picture from a lady and we'll post it on our wall of female listeners so that you can be, that you can be recognized, because we've only got 40 women listening to this program. Oh, 39, excuse me. Come and see a picture of perhaps your favorite female listener. Only 39 women, and they're all posted on the wall of female listeners. You may want to get your picture up there. You can submit one. Also, our scrapbook. I added a picture of our... It actually is a good way to identify all the freaks. There's also a nice picture I've got on there of our family in our scrapbook from last Thanksgiving. So go over there, man, and check it out. 1-800-449-8686. I did the voice there of Bob Green in that last bit. Those people that called thought he was a real guy. How do I explain this program? It's weird enough to say if I were to say this to you, if I were to say that it's me doing the voice and the people, if I were to say this to you, it's a friend of mine doing that voice and the people calling in think it's a real guy, then you'd all think, oh, great, okay, so you got your friend calling in. If I were to say to you that it's me doing that voice and nobody was calling in, you'd say, oh, okay, well, you do character voices. What I'm telling you is I do that voice, I do my own voice, and there's people calling in wanting to talk to that guy because they think he's real. Now, you've never heard a show like this before in your life. Go to our website and check out how you can further understand the Phil Hendry Show, philhendrieshow.com. And people say, why do you give it away? Why do you keep explaining the show? What? It sounds so, I don't know, Phil. Look, a guy's got a right to survive, doesn't he? I got all these shows out there that are, you know, talked up like they're the greatest things since sliced bread. And the fact is, we got to put our name on this. We got to sign our name to this painting. You know, we got to get our faces in the door. We got to get our faces on the postage stamp. So that's why I do it. So you know. So there. Now then. Last night I came through the door, and I'm about to do the same thing tonight, and saw my kids sitting on the couch starving. And I said, okay, what's going on? Because Mom's out visiting her mother in the desert. Maria's out visiting her mom. She loves to hook up with her mom, you know, every few months. They hook up, they do girl stuff, they have dinner, they go shopping. They're very close. Maria and her mother are really close, so they hang out together. And on those blessed occasions, it's me and the kids. So I said, look, grab pizza tonight, because by the time I get home, you guys will, it'll be way past dinner. I get home, they're all sitting there, and one of them's like, oh, I'm hungry. It's nothing worse than a hungry kid. They're insane. They don't make sense. They're mad. They're completely mad. A hungry kid loses all touch with reality. I saw one of our kids one day standing in front of the refrigerator with the door open, staring at just a cornucopia, a bounty, a feast of food, and he's crying. And I said, what's wrong? I'm hungry! There's food in front of you! I don't know what to eat! So a hungry kid goes insane. Plus, one of my kids has a car. Hey, dude, idea. All of you in the car, go up, Carl's Jr. Ta-da! Dun-dun-dun-dun! All done. Jesus. Yeah, what an idea. On every corner in the town I live in, Thousand Oaks, California, there's a McDonald's, there's a Carl's Jr., there's a Taco Bell, there's a Burrito Supreme, there's a Baker's Square, there's a Mexican restaurants of every stripe, there's a fish and chips joint, there's an IHOP, there's a couple of delis, just on and on and on, like a steakhouse. Yeah, I said, take your brother and sisters and go up and get a steak. Anyway, they're sitting there like, I'm hungry. Well, okay, so what's the story? Well, we called Pizza Hut. Here, tell the guy where we are. As I walk through the door, they're holding the phone. They're holding the phone. They're sticking the phone out at me. Tell the guy where we are. Okay, great. I grab the phone. Hi, how you doing?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so do you need to... Well, what's your nearest cross street? Our nearest cross street, it's so-and-so, such-and-such street.
Oh, I don't know. We used to deliver there, but we don't anymore.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Click. They used to deliver here, but they don't anymore. And the oldest one's going, that's bullcrap, man. They just delivered here last month. I know they deliver here. Look, I just heard the guy say, no, that's bullcrap. So he calls him back. And if you call Pizza Hut these days, you're on hold for hours and hours. They've got that guy, sounds like he's right out of central casting at Disney Radio. Hi, welcome to Pizza Hut. Hold on the line. We'll be with you in just a minute. And then, do you have a party coming up? Well, we serve up pizza and garlic bread and stuff for 5, 10, 20, 50, 160 people. Call us about our party platters.
Your call is important to us. Please stay on the line. At Pizza Hut, we aim to please.
Having a party? Well, our party platters will serve 5, 10, 50, 20 people. Stay on the line for more information.
Your call is important to us.
You know, and on and on and it goes. And I got on the other line. I got a two-line phone, so I'm on the other line, and we're waiting. I'm trying to go, forget it, man. Forget it. It's over. No, man, Pizza Hut delivers. Because I was the guy that said to them, when they were little tiny kids, you know, how kids are. Their taste is in their rear ends. You know, they think that Domino's, with all due respect, Domino's, I mean, you guys do a great job, but You're not really top of the line there. You know it. Oh, Domino's, the best pizza they ever had. And I would say to them, you know, yeah, that's right. Game over, man. Just
welcome to Pizza Hut.
Just game over. I'm out. I want out. So, Domino's, I said to them, you know, you guys haven't lived until you've tried. At that point, when they're little, you say, how about Little Caesars or Round Table or something like that? No! Try telling a kid that he can't have his regular thing, and they'll go insane. They'll go mad with delirium. So finally, I got them off of that. They got into Pizza Hut. Now I can't get that, so I got to take them to the next level. I got to take them to the next level. Now, there's a joint in our in the next town over that I love. It's an Italian bakery, and they deliver, and they make great homemade pizza. And I said, you guys, let's call up this place. You know, and of course, immediately, I don't want to get that. Why? It's thin crust, and it's really weird. Thin crust? What does that mean? Well, listen, I'm hungry. Okay, let's get 10 pizzas. You can have 16 thin crust slices will equal one big, fat, thick piece that you get at Pizza Hut. How about that? Well, I don't know. Well, I finally got them on the line. They're really cool. Yeah, we can deliver, man. You know where we live? Yeah, we know where you live. Great. How much will that be? We don't know how it is. It's an Italian bakery. It's like $50 a pizza or something. We got four. I got three cheese pizzas because my kids are still on cheese pizzas because it's just so exotic eating pepperoni. It's way, way out there. What do you guys want? I'm calling up a refined Italian bakery, man, and deli. This place is top of the line. What do you guys want? Cheese pizza? Yeah, great. So they get the three cheese pizzas and the pepperoni. Came to like $150. No, it wasn't $150. It was, you know. Yeah, to a kid, pepperoni is like eating escargot. They might as well be eating snails.
What is it?
It's pepperoni.
Is it spicy?
Yeah, it may be spicy. I don't know. What's the thing?
I'm going to learn it.
They'll sit there like this with one hand on their chin, just... They won't get up. They won't move. They won't go get anything else. They'll just sit with the hand. They won't touch the food. They'll go, do you not want it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you want something else? And they'll shrug their shoulders like, I don't know. And, okay, well, you're going to have to eat that.
No.
So then they just sit there all depressed. And my daughter, get a load of this. You're going to love this. For some reason, she can't stand pie. I've never seen kids like this. She doesn't dig pie. What kid doesn't dig pie? What kid doesn't dig chocolate? These guys eat vanilla ice cream. But anyway, my daughter says, when we had some friends come over one weekend... Yeah, that's the other. Craig reminded me of something. I said, you don't like the pepperoni?
Mm-mm.
How about if I take the pepperoni off of there?
There's still the pepperoni juice.
Yeah, okay. So, I had some friends come over one weekend, and they brought over like an apple pie and a cherry and a blueberry. It's really good pie. It's homemade pie. And we were going to have it, you know, we were having a picnic or something with the kids. So, there's my daughter tugging on the dress of this lady that comes visiting. I hate pie. I hate pie. I hate pie. Grabbing her dress and tugging on it to let her know that you're going to have to rustle up another dessert for me because what you brought over is garbage. It's garbage. She might as well just tag it. Hi, what you brought over tastes like ass. It tastes like ass. And I, to this day, I go, what is it with you and pie? And pie's fantastic. Yes, it is. No. It's good. Look, Catherine, I'm eating. Look at this. Mmm, apple pie.
Yuck.
You know? But her thing is cake, so, you know, what are you going to do, man? The whack thing. Yeah, try to get the pizza, the pepperoni off. It's got the pepperoni juice on it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give her a mincemeat pie. Then she'll... God. How about some possum pie there, Catherine? You like that? Stuff, rhubarb. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. So as I said, our website, philhendryshow.com. The other thing I want to announce is our second annual webcast will be on December the 20th. This is going to be a 360-degree webcast of our show and our show prep. The camera will be set up in our office, and then we'll move it down to our studio. You'll be able to see 360 degrees around my office and around the studio as we do our show and as we prepare our show. In addition, we've got some plans to do a Christmas Carol. We'll do a one-man version of that. I'll play the parts of all the different people. Who knows? You know, we'll do some shtick with it. I don't know. But some kind of a cool deal like that before the Christmas holiday kicks in. That'll be December the 20th. You must have a backstage pass to get that. You must have a backstage pass to get our webcast. So please sign up today, philhenryshow.com.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, Extreme Radio.